Just about a year ago, Edward Snowden became a household name. His disclosures about the reach and extent of the NSA's online monitoring programs led to headlines around the world. And in the past 12 months, all sorts of new terms have entered the lexicon. We've learned about FISA courts and obscure parts of foreign surveillance law. Formerly secret programs named PRISM, Turbulence, and X-Keyscore have been made public. But there has been one big, basic question hanging out there, more or less unanswered. What exactly does this kind of surveillance reveal? What exactly could the NSA see about me or you, assuming they cared to look? NPR technology correspondent Steve Henn, in collaboration with the technology website Ars Technica and a computer expert, set out to answer exactly that by tapping the internet traffic into and out of Steve's home office. Steve's on the line with us. Hey, Steve.
Good morning.
And we know you'll be reporting on this in coming days, but we wanted to sort of get a preview here. Tell us exactly what you did.
Well, working with Sean Gallagher, who's a reporter at Ars Technica, and Dave Porcello, a computer security expert at a company he founded called Pony Express, the three of us bugged my office.
Okay.
We installed something called a Pwn plug to monitor the inbound and outbound internet traffic to my computer and mobile phone.
So this is if you were on Facebook on your phone, if you were talking on Skype on your computer, anything on your Wi-Fi, I mean, it could be monitored.
That's exactly right.
So in a way, you became a proxy for all of us. I mean, people at their computers or on their phones. And this device that these guys, Sean and Dave, put in became a proxy for the NSA?
Yeah, in a sense, that's exactly it. So this spring, actually in April, Sean came to my office in Menlo Park, California. And Dave was in his office across the country in Vermont. You'll hear his voice over a speakerphone in a second. So we plugged this thing in, this Pwn plug, and the moment my phone connected, there was this torrent of data that began flowing over the line.
Immediately?
Immediately, and without me even touching the device. So this is Dave.
You're not, like, opening apps or anything, right?
No, it's my phone is sitting on my desk with the settings thing open.
You know, it's just thousands and thousands of pages of stuff.
Lines, yeah, thousands of lines.
That's Sean Gallagher, the reporter from Ars Technica.
So there's a lot of content that's flowing back and forth that you have no control over that is in the open and can be sniffed by somebody sitting on the network.
And you're saying that in seconds, I mean, your phone started sending all sorts of code about you and you had no control over it.
That's right. And, you know, every phone is going to do this, and it has to for the services you depend on to work. So without you doing anything, your phone contacts your email service, your weather app, web pages that you have open and running in the background, maybe a maps program. But the key here for people who are concerned about their privacy is how those connections are established. If all of that data is encrypted, no one who's watching your internet connections can see what you're doing. But if it's unencrypted, if it's sent in the clear, anyone who's on the line monitoring your traffic, whether it's, you know, the NSA or your network administrator at work, can go into that flow of packets and see exactly what you're up to.
So if it's encrypted, as you say, does that mean the NSA can't do anything with whatever I'm sending?
Well, the NSA can break encryption, but often to do that, it takes a huge amount of computer power and time. And so that makes this kind of passive, large-scale, massive surveillance that we've been reading about over the last year much more difficult. So over the last year, lots of computer companies have begun adding encryption to basic consumer services.
I want to be real careful here. This is not totally realistic, right? I mean, these two guys are focusing on just you. The NSA has to deal with millions and millions and millions of people.
No, that's exactly true. And I think one of the real questions that we had to struggle with was, is it possible for the NSA to disentangle, say, your traffic from my traffic and everyone else's traffic if they're tapping into an internet connection somewhere overseas? And technically, it turns out that actually this kind of thing is possible to get at when you're applying large-scale computer software that's designed to deal with big data to the problem. So when we were analyzing my traffic to analyze it and sort it, and it was hundreds of millions of packets of data, we didn't have to use a lot of computing power. Here's Dave Porcello.
Oh, no. Yeah, I could have done this analysis on an Android phone.
The NSA, though, has supercomputers, massive computing centers spread all over the world, and one enormous one that's generated a lot of attention in Utah. And that kind of computing power makes disentangling all this data possible.
Well, the other question is the law. I mean, is what they did to your office, could the NSA do that legally?
Well, that's a great question. And with me sitting here in Menlo Park, California, as a citizen of the United States, the only way that they could do this kind of collection is if they had a court order, and that would have to come from the FISA court. Carrie Cordero has worked on national security issues at the Justice Department for close to a decade. She's now at Georgetown Law School.
As a former national security lawyer, when you're evaluating a particular request from the intelligence community to conduct a certain type of operation, the facts matter.
You know, and from the beginning of the Snowden affair, the NSA has insisted that it has done all of this collection within a pre-existing legal framework. And roughly, it works this way. If you're living abroad and you're not a citizen of the United States, they have a great deal of freedom to collect and try to analyze your data. If you're doing business with a U.S. company, any kind of bulk collection program has to be approved by the U.S. Attorney General. If you're in the United States or a U.S. citizen, no matter where you are in the world, this kind of collection is supposed to be subject to a court order.
A court order being the FISA court, which is the special foreign intelligence surveillance court that deals with these questions.
That's right.
Okay, Steve, so you're going to be reporting on what you learned here over the coming days. And I guess we're going to get a lot of insights, but one thing to keep reminding our listeners is this was an experiment that we designed here.
Right, and there were a couple ground rules. Sean and Dave didn't have access to any NPR systems or actually internal access to my computer or my phone. You know, this was set up to be passive monitoring designed to mimic what we know about how the NSA collects data from the public internet. So what they could see about you possibly searching for a divorce attorney or going to sites you might not want people to know you're going to, looking into your medical history or other things like that. I also had a kill switch. Basically, I could unplug from this project at any time. And I did whenever I was doing something that was really personal or working on something not related to this.
I know we're going to be hearing a lot in the coming days from you, but sort of a 15, 20-second preview of what you learned?
Yeah, no, we learned a lot. I mean, even though many major online service providers and companies like Google and Facebook have taken steps to secure data and encrypt it, we found that a lot of it is still leaking around the edges. We also realized that most institutions and most people have old software running on their systems that don't keep your data safe. And we also found one large security vulnerability that's pretty well known within the industry and affects tens of millions of Americans, but has gone unaddressed for years. So we're going to have stories on all of that over the week.
All right, Steve Henn, quite an experiment. Look forward to hearing all the reporting. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
He's NPR's technology correspondent, and tomorrow he will have the story of 1 week under surveillance.